What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Ryan's working the board. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Richard Propes of IndependentCritic.com is sitting in with me. Good to have him back, not only as a guest, but his cookie order's finally been handed over to him.
It was worth coming in for that.
I know it is, but you're going to stay, right?
I'll probably stay.
Okay. And by the way, if you still haven't got your Girl Scout cookies, you're qualified to be a guest on the show. It's just been that kind of thing. You know the great thing about Girl Scout cookies? They don't age, really, about them. Well, part of it is you go through them so fast, you know, they don't have time to get stale. And really, I think there's this, you know, it's the magical fairy dust that makes those cookies still fresh, even after all this time. Well, folks, normally we start with a new movie review, a new film that's new in theaters. And, well, Richard and I saw a film each this weekend, and, well, we want to delay that. So instead, we're gonna salute to a gentleman who just recently passed, and he deserves the credit because he's put in quite a career. And we want to do a little two-part celebration of the life and career of Peter Graves. Okay. If you have a question or a comment, you can reach me at msocey@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Pull that page down. Pull it down. Richard, why don't you tell the two films that we're going to talk about that are new in theaters. Tell us what's open this weekend.
We are going to be talking a little bit about Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler's new film, The Bounty Hunter. That's the one I got to see this weekend. And then Matt Soce is going to be sharing a little bit about that other action flick that we saw this weekend. I can't even remember what it was. That's how bad it was. I don't even remember.
Repo Men?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Why would I want to? I'm a double amputee. Why would I want to remember a film about people losing their body parts?
You know, I'm glad you brought up the two-legged elephant in the room. So, because I didn't want to, but that's all right. So, okay, now we got the technical things are taken care of. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we talk about those two films, and really, why would we? Part one of our salute to Peter Graves.
Flight 209er, you are cleared for takeoff.
Roger.
Huh? L.A. departure frequency 123.9er.
Roger.
Huh? Request vector. Over.
What?
Flight 209er clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Howard radio clearance. Over.
That's Clarence. Over. Over.
Roger.
Huh?
Roger, over.
What?
Hey. Who?
Roger, Denver.
We have a visitor.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Captain Over, Mr. Murdoch, and Mr. Bosta. This is Joey Hammond.
Oh, hi, Joey.
Come on up here. You can see better.
Joey, we have something here for our special visitors. Would you like to have it?
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Sure. You ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Do you want me to check the weather, Clarence?
No, why don't you take care of it? Joey, you ever hang around the gymnasium? Joey, you like movies about gladiators? Find out if there's a doctor on board as quietly as you can. Joey, have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Salute, Peter Graves. Thank you so much for that. And the thing is, this is a guy who's had a long career in TV and film. I think the only other film I think of most notably, of course, was he turned out to be the actual bad guy in Billy Wilder's Stalag 17.
Oh, yeah.
Very young Peter Graves. And, of course, all the TV stuff, Mission Impossible and that sort of thing. But damn, that's funny.
What is it? 30 years later, is it still
30
funny?
Years. 30 years. That still packs a punch. And, you know, what's funny is a couple of weeks ago on my DVR account, I had heard about it but had never seen it. So thus the power of DVR. But I watched the 1958 drama Zero Hour.
Wow.
Which is the original drama that inspired Airplane. The pilot was Dana Andrews in the Robert Hayes role as a World War II pilot who survives a mission gone bad. And, of course, he winds up having to land the airplane because of food poisoning. And the Robert Stack character, the guy who talks him down, is the brilliant Sterling Hayden. And what's funny about this film is they lift actual lines from that film and use them in Airplane. Like, up until Peter Graves' first magical question, mm-hmm. those lines are in the film when a kid visits the cockpit.
Familiar.
Yeah, it's priceless. I know, and of course, you know, Airport was the other inspiration for Airplane and its subsequent bad sequels. Really, Airport wasn't that good either. But, but anyway, that's where that came from. So it was fun to watch the original source of Airplane, and we salute Peter Graves for just
absolutely
not just him, but also all those guys that got a second boost in their career. Leslie Nielsen especially, but Lloyd Bridges, Robert Stack. So great stuff there. But yes, you now can't think of a Turkish prison or movies about gladiators in the
or
same
grown
light.
Men naked.
Oh, that's your opinion. So anyway, I guess so. We've delayed it long enough, but I guess I have to talk about Repo Men. No. This is not a remake of the Alex Cox film, thank goodness. No, this is not a film version of the gross movie musical, the trauma-esque version of this. Remember that? Yeah, no, this is Jude Law and Forest Whitaker and Alice Braga and Liev Schreiber. And it's, guys who collect artificial body parts that are very expensive. And there's a big twist involving the Jude Law character. Here's a vocal sample.
It's compact, it's safe, it's comfortable. Everything you want in a new liver. The price, $756,000.
Let me just reassure you that our credit department will find a plan that fits your lifestyle.
He'll sign it. Everybody signs it.
But what they don't tell you is if you can't pay the bills, some union man will break into your house and reclaim our property.
I can pay.
Sorry, that's not my department.
Liver.
What are you, hanging out at AA meetings?
My name's Remy. That's my best friend, Jake. We grew up together, and now we work together.
Yeah, job's a job.
And what do you think keeps a world together? It's rules. It's people abiding by the terms of the deals that they sign themselves.
How's your pancreas holding up?
I sent the money in this morning.
We're always going to be repo.
From the IRS?
Nah.
They won't give me a new art?
Nah. No, your credit history.
Hey. You're a very lucky man, you know that? What you're looking at here is the new HARP module, top of the line.
Get it out. No time at all. You're going to be back on your game. You're going to be knocking them down.
You've done this 1,000 times. What is wrong with you?
Falling behind on payments.
Yep, they'll come for you too.
Who do you think Frank's gonna send after me?
Maybe me.
Wherever we go, wherever we hide, they'll find us.
What do you wanna do?
Finish this.
Take me out of the system.
Give me your heart. Or we could come up with a plan that fits your, now he's yours. End the jig. Now.
I'm not letting you go.
I can't go back.
repo man.
Well, Richard, you're old enough to remember this. Ryan, you are not, and that's okay. Do you remember Logan's Run?
I remember Logan's Run,
yeah. Similar premise.
Okay.
Of course, Michael York in that one is a bounty hunter in a land where people over the age of 30 are not allowed to live, like Broad Ripple After Dark. And it's true. And
it is.
And in this one, of course, Jude Law is the top repo-getting guy when it comes to artificial limbs, and then, of course, he gets an artificial body part and a heart, an artificial heart inserted inside him. And guess what, folks? He gets behind in his payments. And his best friend and probably second best bounty hunter, played by Academy Award winner Forrest Whitaker, has to go and get him.
Let us stress, not for this performance.
No. And they didn't label, I don't think they labeled him as winner in this one. I guess they saved those for the prestige flicks. Somewhere in here was an interesting idea, and unfortunately, if you've seen Logan's Run, then I just kind of spoiled some of the plot to you of the hunter who becomes the hunted, which is something that's been done in many films over the years. But I think of Logan's Run, and of course that yes, we know it's expensive and healthcare is bad, especially in the future when everything is even more expensive and more bad and that sort of thing. That being said, it was not bad, and then we got into a little bit of a wrinkle involving the visually stunning Alice Braga, who plays another person with multiple artificial body parts in her system, and it's kind of almost, well, why is this woman in here? Of course, the Jude Law character has marriage troubles seeing his son, but the girl just kind of feels tacked on. And as I'm watching this, I'm like, this is one of those things where I should go get popcorn now whenever the girl's on screen. I'm sorry, Melissa, but that's how some people say when there are certain women in cinema. And I thought, okay, now it's this relationship between these two who are now both on the run. And I think I would have liked a more fugitive style of just Law versus Whitaker. I think I would have been a little more interested in that. And then the last 20 minutes of the film turns into a Wachowski Brothers thing with Jude Law, action ninja. And I don't want to give away too much, but there's a scene involving Jude Law and Alice Braga. The best way I can describe it is surgical erotica. And that's really all I want to say about that, but it's
works
just
for me.
I'm
okay.
Sure. Oh, surgical erotica does well for you. That's a very short shelf at the video store, I assure you. But let's put it this way: if you enjoyed the leg wound love scene in David Cronenberg's Crash,
that was wonderful.
Okay, then you're gonna dig this. Then
okay,
fair enough. But it just goes down a really bizarre path, and just kind of turns into a slam bang action film when there could have been a bit of a message. And guess what? The plot twist in this is no twist at all. So. Overall, this is what I thought of Repo Men. Ryan, I know, but it is out in theaters. Go rent Repo Man. Yeah, which is a far better film than this one. But yeah, here's our thoughts on that. Hold on a sec.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
So, I told you that to tell you this one. So now, Richard and I, we drew straws, and I seriously, despite this film, I still think you lost.
You think so?
Because you had to see Bounty Hunter.
I had to see Bounty Hunter.
I think this was a film that feels like it was made for the Us Weekly crowd.
I think it was made for the four people who liked The Ugly Truth.
Oh, God. Jennifer Aniston, Gerard Butler, he's the bounty hunter, she's the target.
She's his ex-wife who has skipped out on her bail.
So it's a less gay Midnight Run.
You know, it was a...
No, I love Midnight Run.
You love Midnight...
I loved Midnight Run.
Why?
Well, let's get to this first.
Okay, the Bounty Hunter. You know, everything you need to know about the Bounty Hunter is in the title.
Or the trailer.
The trailer. Well, yeah, the trailer gives away the entire film. You know the setup going into it, especially when you know that it stars Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler.
And guess what? They don't like each other.
They don't like each other. They are divorced. They don't like each other. He loves the chance to chase his ex-wife because she has skipped out on bail. I'm not sure about the ethics of that whole situation.
I don't think you're allowed to do that. I think that's like performing an operation on a relative.
I'm thinking the charges would have been thrown out at that point.
I think so.
But, you know, there's nothing logical about this film. I don't think it's supposed to be logical. It's supposed to be a romantic comedy.
No.
In the same way that Did You Hear About the Morgans is a romantic comedy.
Also on DVD this week, which we'll get to in a little bit.
We'll get to that one.
So you mentioned The Ugly Truth, which made my worst 10 list last year.
Mine too.
Is this film more unpleasant than that one?
You know, I would honestly say that it works a little bit better.
Well, that's nice. Because I've had a film in my head of Jennifer Aniston handcuffed in bed. Not this one in the least.
And it certainly would not involve Gerard Butler.
Oh, heavens no. Of course not. Are you kidding? I'd also do the commentary.
Every romantic comedy cliche is in the film. You know exactly how it's going to end the film. I don't have to spoil it for you.
And how are the action cliches? Because I know there's a lot of that as well.
Oh, it's hilariously. I mean, I'm not the most logical person.
This is why you're perfect for the show.
Exactly. And I knew everything going into it. I knew everything as it happened. I found myself quoting dialogue before it was spoken.
Ooh, that's not good.
It was a scary film. The only thing that really sold it is that Aniston, you know, she has her Aniston personality.
Yes.
And her Aniston look. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, that.
That's my film idea, which won't get made.
Yeah, and Gerard Butler. Yeah.
That dude's got to pick some better scripts, man. He's been on a real bad streak lately.
Well, why do they keep trying to turn him into a romantic leading? It was like James Franco. It's not meant to be.
Not necessarily, because it gives him a break from doing gamer and law-abiding citizen.
We're grateful for. Stop doing that. Well,
oh, God, I don't know, because I don't know. I guess I'd want him in generic action film than unpleasant romantic comedy, I suppose.
But people are P.S. I Love You. People went to see it.
I actually kind of like that one.
Did you really?
It was a guilty thing. You know what? It was nice to know Hilary Swank could do romantic comedies, too. He is a bit overbearing, especially for a dead guy.
Well, he's a caveman. Come on.
Well, yes, he is. I suppose.
I mean, he's kind of an appealing. He was probably a nice caveman
when he was alive.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those. I think I recommended it just based on the premise as well, because people got on Hilary Swank's case of, when are you going to be pretty in a movie?
Like, granted.
You know, like, you know, bite me. She can do whatever she wants. So, no. So wait a minute. I'm going to shift gears for a second.
Okay.
You didn't like Midnight Run?
Come
on.
Overrated.
Overrated, really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
That's another film that needs a 2-disc special edition, I'm surprised it is not.
I liked it more than The Bounty Hunter.
Well, yes, that's a given. It's been, my God, 22 years. Because that was the first step in the comedization of Robert De Niro. And of course he worked.
How well that's turned out.
Well, you know, that was the first step. You can't blame that for the whole thing.
Has he been funny since?
Since Midnight Run?
Yeah.
Analyze this.
Oh, okay.
Meet the Parents.
You win.
Okay. After that.
Okay.
That was in the crapper. So no, it's okay. After that. No, okay. I don't blame that. I don't blame Midnight Run for that. But no, I thought they worked really well together. And you're not saying anything. That's all right.
Okay.
No, that's
fine. We'll agree to disagree.
Fair enough. And also in theaters this weekend, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, which I've never read.
I've never read. And I have not seen.
Have not seen.
I kind of want to see.
Really?
I kind of like, you know, the good old family-friendly films for kids. Yeah, I do enjoy them.
Well, speaking of which, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about one of those family-friendly films, it happens, with an Indiana twist. Well, all right, not twist. An Indiana connection. Not a Gene Hackman film. But anyway, you are listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows, as voted on by music journalists across the city, and our on-track artist, featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know what I can do with that? I can do with that the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open, at least for now with Blockbuster. I know, bad news.
Wow.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point, WFYI.org, and also available as a podcast on Monday. In case you suffered through either film that we saw this weekend, you can hear how we felt about it. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Shameless plug, tonight, Friday night, and two shows Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Friday, 3 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. Saturday at Scottish Rite Cathedral, the comedy Three Bags Full, directed by yours truly. It's a farce set in 1905, and it's a lot of fun. It's at Scottish Rite Cathedral, 650 North Meridian Street. Gorgeous space, my favorite space, not named IRT, here in Indianapolis for live theater. It's a gorgeous, if you get a chance to go inside, please do. Now, before we get to the DVDs, Richard Probst is here with me, and he's trumped me in the film celebrity death notices, because I'm the old guy with the obits going through to see if I know anybody. And it was a hard week. Of course, we had Peter Graves, Alex Chilton,
yeah.
And you just told me Fess Parker.
Fess Parker.
Who sadly I thought was already dead.
Me too.
But he was a television staple in your world.
I grew up watching both Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett.
So,
I mean, I loved Fess
King
Parker.
Of the Wild Frontier, salute.
Oh, I love that song.
And, of course, obviously better known for his TV than his films, which means he won't be in the death montage because they're cruel. But he was also in the great ant epic Them, as well as Alias Jesse James, and probably the first Disney film that made a lot of kids cry, Old Yeller. So salute to Fess Parker. Good career. Well done, sir. Okay, well, we said earlier about family-friendly films. We said Diary of a Wimpy Kid is in theaters this weekend. There is a film that's on DVD. I think it came out this week. And it's got a link to Indiana because the Heartland Film Festival, I believe, had the Midwest premiere for this film. And it's called Hushy, A Dog's Tale. And it's directed by Lasse Hallström, the man who gave us My Life as a Dog, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Chocolat, Shipping News, and, strangely enough, the weepy teen film Dear John, which came out earlier this year. Do you remember that?
I remember.
Could you believe that's a Lasse Hallström film?
That did make me weep.
That was sad.
That was sad.
Anyway, Ryan, my producer's giving me looks. Lasse Hallström, when he had a film, It was an event. He was one of those event directors. This was a really good guy, really good director. So it's interesting that he's making the weepy tween teenage 20-something flick with the girl from Mamma Mia.
Hopefully, it's funding a special independent.
Think of that, like the Steven Soderbergh thing. One, do one for the studio,
exactly.
Do one for yourself.
I can live with that.
This might have been the one for himself, really, because Hushy starts Richard Gere, Joan Allen, and Jason Alexander. That's right, Gere and Alexander. It's a mini Pretty Woman reunion. Thank you. And it's based on a true story of it's based on a legend of a Japanese businessman with a very special dog who would follow him to the train station, and he'd go home, and the dog would come back to the train station at 5 o'clock, waiting for his master. Now, they've remade it. They've set it in Rhode Island with Richard Gere, and
it's not Japanese.
Not Japanese. And not turning Japanese, we really think so. So, anyway, let's hear the trailer for crying out loud.
Hachiko was my grandfather Wilson's dog. Everyone called Hachi a mystery dog because they never really knew where he came from. That's where their story began.
Hey, buddy, you lost?
One chance encounter.
He was at the train station.
I just thought you'd bring him home and talk me into keeping him.
Tomorrow morning I'm going to find out exactly where he belongs.
Became
that. I love him.
A miraculous story.
Does he have anemia?
Yes, he does. Temporary guess.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No. The ball.
Oh, lost it.
Sorry. The dog's already been taken.
Whoa! Good work. So go ahead. Go on home.
What are you doing here?
Been here all day?
No. You just showed up 2 minutes ago.
He's amazing. Every day.
Hachi. Hey, Hachi.
You don't have to wait anymore. He's not coming back.
Based on a true story. One dog's loyalty. Inspired a town.
Is that the dog that I've been hearing so much about?
To discover friendship can last forever.
Every day, come, same time, same place.
It sounds like you can make a good story.
Starring Richard Gere, Academy Award nominee Joan Allen, Eric Avari, and Jason Alexander.
When I hear about my grandfather, Nahachi, I feel like I know him. They taught me the meaning of loyalty. You should never forget anyone that you've loved.
Hachiko, a dog's tale based on a true story.
And that's why Hachi will forever be my hero.
That's right. I played the overseas trailer, which the film was known as Hachiko, because apparently it sounds too Japanese for American audiences.
We couldn't deal with that.
Apparently, well, nobody did. I don't know how many theaters this played in when it opened. And as we'll hopefully get a bigger life on TV. It played at Heartland. I don't think it played in theaters.
I don't recall it
in Indy. We would have talked about this, I believe. Yeah. So it's kind of a shame. It's a bummer that. Yes, I'm going to pull up my black socks and tell you to get the hell out of my life. When you have a family friendly, and trust me, I'm not a med vet by any stretch of the imagination. But anytime you can get a sincere family film out, and the fact that I still don't know if it went in any theater, maybe in the big three, but it's going to get probably a bigger life on DVD. I really hope it does.
You'd be amazed if it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's such a good story.
It is. It's simply told, very sweet. And by the way, I bring up this film so I could rant about another one, because it's been a while since I've ranted about it. You know in the film that the Richard Gere character dies. There's no spoiler about that, because in the story, the dog, you know, in the legend, the dog keeps coming back to the station, and everybody in town helps the dog and supports the dog. And of course, eventually there is a statue somewhere in Japan with this dog. So there's no false advertising in this doggy film than, say, Marley and Me.
Yeah.
The dog snuff film of 2008.
Yeah.
Which... You know, let's put it this way. My daughter has seen Macbeth and King Lear and Hamlet. I will not show her Marley and Me.
Really?
No. Wow. Oh, heavens no. They promoted that thing like it was a frickin' Beethoven movie.
That's true.
And not only did they not tell you about Jennifer Aniston's character having a miscarriage halfway through the film, but the dog dies. And,
sorry if you didn't know that.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm usually respectful of the spoiler alert, but the advertising for this film really irritated me. And not even just a simple, you know, in good times and in bad, just a one sentence to show that there is some smidgen of uneasiness in this family, in this film.
It was not a lighthearted.
No, God, no, absolutely not. So that kind of bugged me. Anyway, I've ranted about that. Back on this. So it's a sweetly made film. It's I think for Lasse Hallström simply directed. It's not too flashy. The only scene I can think of is the trees. There's a ground level shot with Hashi, and you see the trees go from summer to fall to winter, and, you know, that sort of thing. That's about the flashiest thing that he does. But it's simply told, beautifully told, and I hope people go and
really strong performances.
Really strong.
For a family film,
I think a lot of people kind of slough that off. You just you know, if you want something that's just good for the kids, and that's fine. But Richard Gere is solid in this, as is Joan Allen. Jason Alexander, God, can you even think of the last thing that guy's done except for TV shows that die quickly?
exactly.
He's not Tony Kornheiser. But, he's quite good in for the couple of scenes he's got. But, yeah, Gere's pretty strong. We were saying it off air. Like, can you think of the last good performance he's had since Chicago? And you brought up B-Season, which you liked more than I did. Yeah. But yeah, it's not Red Corner. It's not, he's making projects he wants to make as opposed to, big, dumb blockbuster and then something. Well, then again, he was in Brooklyn's Finest, and I didn't see Brooklyn's Finest.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was he okay?
It was,
yeah. That was a predictable as hell film.
Yeah, exactly. It was another predictable action flick, but he was okay in it.
Okay, that's fine. But no.
Nothing like this.
No, nothing like this. Everybody's in it really good. So this is a film I'm going to ask you people to please, 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 even if you don't have kids, even if you don't like dogs, give this film a chance. Go rent it or buy it if you're one of those people that buys DVDs.
If you want quality family films made, you have to support them.
You have to. So, I'm not going to name the films that are supposed to be family and are god-awful. You know what they are. But anyway, so this is our mutual thoughts on Hashi or Hashiko.
Yes, 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 yes.
Speaking of Lasse Hallström, I have the never-ending pile of DVDs I haven't watched yet. And thank you to various pawn shops across the city that have some movies for $2. But I finally watched An Unfinished Life, which was the last Hallström film. And I think this was one that was supposed to be released by Miramax, but it got lost in the Weinsteins leaving Miramax, forming their own company. So they just kind of it out there.
Yeah.
This was Robert Redford, Jennifer Lopez, Morgan Freeman, and Josh Lucas. Good cast. And it's Lopez is the husband, the wife of Redford's dead son, and she comes back with the grandchild, and they don't get along, and Morgan Freeman's the best friend who's mauled by a bear, and there's Bart the Bear from, I don't think it's the one that was in The Edge. I think it's one that's, anyway, a movie bear.
You're the bear expert, not me.
I am?
Yes.
I'm not going to respond to that. Not that kind of bear. But anyway, it was one of those, and this is the Lasse Hallström film I think of, like Chocolat or Shipping News or What's Eating Gilbert Grape, where somebody gets a chance at redeeming themselves, getting a second chance at life. And it was really good. That was another...
Much better than I expected.
Yeah, it was another film that was a shame that it got caught up in some studio politics and just kind of died.
Yeah.
So that's out there. Anyway... Also on DVD this week, which I've already purchased on Blu-ray because a certain somebody has told me I had to go get it.
Uh-oh.
I do what of my own ideas. But it's the...
Ninja Assassin.
Shut up. No, we're not on that yet.
Okay.
No, it's the Academy Award nominated... Academy Award nominated Princess and the Frog from Disney, which was up for...
Oh, that one.
I thought the surprise fifth choice in Best Animated Feature... It was probably number 6 in my book. And it got 2 nominations for Best Song.
Right.
And it's a return to the old hand-drawn animation. And it's the story of the Princess and the Frog, only it's set in New Orleans. And, yes, Disney finally has a black princess. Sadly, it's not Pam Grier. Play the trailer, will you?
There's magic in the air. Tonight.
And anything can happen.
I suppose you want a kiss.
Kissing would be nice, yes?
Prepare yourself for a classic tale in a whole new light.
You mean?
It's the Princess and the Frog, but not quite the way you heard the story.
I was cursed by a witch doctor.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Transformation Central.
You must kiss me.
Excuse me?
Please, people make me human again.
From the directors of The Little Mermaid and Aladdin.
You were messing with the Shadow Man?
He was very charismatic.
Uh-oh. Where y'all going?
Find somebody to break the spell.
Just follow the bastard button.
Ooh, women like a man with a big fat pouch.
Featuring all new music from Academy Award-winning composer Randy Newman.
Well, we're human, and we're gonna be.
I want fingers and toes and a belly button. Not the kind that sticks out, but the kind that goes in.
Push up.
This holiday season.
There is no way I'm kissing a frog
getting a bug on the same day.
It's a spectacular new adventure.
Tell the people Mama told you so.
With the kind of magic that only happens.
Hunker up, Buttercup.
When you wish upon a star.
Only thing important is what's under the skin.
Open up the window. Let in the light.
One more time. It don't matter what you look like. It don't nobody gonna sing with me. Okay.
Walt Disney Pictures presents. The Princess and the Frog.
Just one kiss.
Just one. Unless you beg for more.
Well, let's see some of the voices. Oprah Winfrey, Terrence Howard, John Goodman, Irma P. Hall. And, yeah, pretty impressive. Of course, yeah, as you heard, music by Randy Newman. I recognize the Dr. John song in there as well. Always a good time. The look of it is, again, even though I didn't pick it to be nominated for Best Animated Feature, it's still a sweet story. I like the look of it. The fact that it is hand-drawn animation, we haven't seen one of those in quite a while. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a nice twist. We got a new princess story. I love the New Orleans setting, obviously, with my other film show, or my other radio show, I should say, that comes into play. Keith David, of course, is the voice of the villain, always great when he's not doing Ken Burns documentaries or The Cat and Coraline. That's right. He was in two Academy Award-nominated animated features. See, that's the information you get here at Film Sociology. So salute Keith David. Nicely done. He was also the voice of The Cat and Coraline. And fortunately, they treat Cajun society and voodoo not too badly. I mean, we have a Cajun lightning bug, which is all right, a little Justin Wilson-esque. And you got the three bumpkins that, you know, still not nearly as offensive as Adam Sandler on Saturday Night Live. So I'll give it that. I'll let that one slide a little bit. But no, overall, a very sweet film.
I thought it was very sweet. It was a little bit better than I expected. It was nice to me to not have a film be overwhelmed with the technology.
Yeah.
I mean, technology is wonderful, but it gets old after a while. And this was a nice throwback to some of Disney's early animated stuff. And
I know it's real easy to slam on non-Pixar Disney, and that's just, it's kind of old. I mean, it's an old target to hit, and they don't talk down on you, and there's no pop culture references, and there's no, I don't think there's any, well, there's a little bit of talking about of a lightning butt, but no, nothing nothing of a gas-like nature in this film, if I remember correctly, so.
And Randy Newman can write a tune.
Yes, he can. There's a reason why.
Oh, man.
I got politely chewed out at a press conference by Randy Newman back in 1995. Chicago Film Critics Awards. He'd won a song, his song for Toy Story, and received thunderous applause from the press. And just as the applause was dying down, I chimed in with my first question, and he said, "You ruined the moment." I knew he was kidding. Thank God, for a young film writer, I was like, "Okay, you're joking. I can tell. Good. I don't need the slump." So anyway, overall, I think this is probably worth buying, especially if you have kids like your host does. So this is what we think of Princess and the Frog.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, two family films worth checking out. Now there's two films that, well, if you must rent these, put the kids to sleep, or else you put them to sleep yourself. The first is the armored car heist film Armored.
Yay.
Not about armor all, but it's Matt Dillon, Lawrence Fishburne, so there's a Rumblefish reunion.
Oh.
Skeet Ulrich, Jean Reno, Fred Ward, and it's about security guys who do the armored car thing, and they want to pull off a heist of $42 million. And guess what? Things do not go easy for this heist.
You have 51 minutes to transfer this money.
Eagle 12 control. Situation normal.
Copy 12.
Whoa, whoa, what's going on?
I don't know!
Ty, keep your eyes open. She just got out on me.
You smell that? Anybody smell that?
Smell
that?
Somebody got to the fuel line.
Ah!
man.
You passed your probation. You're a full-fledged guard.
All right. Time.
Tomorrow, all new trucks will be carrying priority loads.
Keep your eyes open out there.
I was wondering if you could throw a few more shifts my way. Getting some real ugly letters from the banks.
I'm sorry, kid. Not enough to go around.
Don't worry about it. We're not going to let the bank take your house. Tomorrow, we're going to be transporting $42 million. Think about it.
Think we might get jacked?
As a matter of fact, they do. We're going to take that money, Ty. You, me, Baines, Quinn, Palmer, and Dobbs.
Are you crazy?
You think last week was a joke? It was a test run.
Promise me nobody gets hurt.
That's a promise.
Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Someone's here.
Wait, wait. What was I supposed to do?
It was letting
me go. Ty, where are you going?
Ty, stop. Open this door.
Officer down.
You okay? You hurt? What are you doing?
They can't see us. They won't know what we're doing. Get the kid out of the truck. The funny thing about it is, there's no bad guys. Only good guys. All you gotta do is open the door.
Surprise on this one, Richard. They're not labeled Academy Award nominees. Ooh. Matt Dillon and Lawrence Fishburne in this one.
That's amazing. I know. Why.
If you, I wish I could see another film with Matt Dillon, Lawrence Fishburne, and Jean Reno, and Fred Ward, for that matter. Skeet Ulrich, I don't know, but it's just very, very by the book, the numbers. Generic heist.
If you like B action movies, you will love this.
That's pretty much it. No surprises.
Is it? It's not a surprise that it's directed by a guy named Nimrod.
What else has he done?
I don't even know what else this guy has done.
You have a list there.
I don't have.
No,
one.
That's okay.
I was just. Struck
you just
the
made
name.
The. You just made had to point that out.
I had to paint it.
Kind of like chaos.
It's exactly
that dude. Oh, that's okay. We're gonna. I think this is what we think of Armored. Let's move on.
No, 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 no.
Well, we're going to move on from a film directed by Nimrod to an action film starring Rain. Yes, I think it's Korean pop star who is the star of Ninja Assassin.
I'm amazed your family did not request this one.
I am too, because, well, they have really good taste. And Rain plays a member of an elite ninja assassin, that's the title, force, who finally branches out on his own, and all of his other ninja friends won't let him play any ninja games, and yeah, just play it. It's from the director of V versus Vendetta, and the Wachowski brothers are producers on this, as is Joel Silver. It's not Dark Castle, but listen to this.
Abandoned by your parents. Without a home, without people to care for you, you should have died. But instead, you fought. Your entire life has brought you to this moment. Do not fail yourself. Do not fail your family. Now the time has come for you to prove. You have made me proud, my son.
Okay, I don't need heavy guitar riffs in my ninja movie trailers. I'm sorry.
I was just getting into it, man.
I'm an old guy. This is not your father's ninja movie, I can tell. It's I will say this, there was the man who runs the ninja camp, who is the mentor to this young grasshopper who's out on his own. Do you remember Sho Kasugi?
I do.
Of all those ninja films of the early 80s, Nine Deaths of the Ninja, Enemy of the Ninja. Thank you. Anyway, he's I haven't thought of him. I'm surprised Quentin Tarantino hadn't cast him in a film, but he already did with Sonny Chiba. But no, I remember seeing those ninja films in the early 80s, and I guess that's where I'm at. It's just it's a jacked up Red Bull ninja film with. Mm-hmm. Literally thousands of stars thrown at cars and rooms and things. And it's just, you know, and Rain, when it comes to acting, makes Jet Li look like Olivier when it comes to emotion and delivery. But I guess you're not seeing this for the acting, I guess. You're here for the action.
Yeah, I thought he had a nice screen presence, though.
Did you?
I did. I didn't think he was a great actor.
No.
I'm not saying he was a great actor. But, you know, for what he was trying to, he was a ninja assassin. That's all he had to do.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Well, you know, he could be the bounty hunter.
No, I don't want him with a Jennifer Aniston either.
I think that would have been great. At least he would, he had a few emotions.
Now, what if Gerard Butler was a ninja assassin?
That might work, too.
You think so?
I think so.
So long as he's not singing like in Phantom of the Opera?
Oh, that's, don't get me started on that film.
Oh, really?
I hate that film.
Well, yeah, wasn't that good.
I wanted the chandelier to fall on me.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, we like you. We don't want a chandelier to fall. Okay. Yeah, I know. It was really... You know, that film does have one of my all-time favorite credits and frightening credits. What? Screenplay by Joel Schumacher and Andrew Lloyd Webber. No, that just says bad things are going to happen.
Wow.
Anyway, so when it came to Ninja Assassin, you
no, I don't
did you turn your brain
it.
Off or
no? I did not. I don't recommend it. You know, I read something where the guy who wrote the screenplay wrote it in like 53 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Shows, doesn't it?
It shows, and that's the problem with it. You know, all they did was throw action at it, style at it.
More stars and more ninja stars
exactly.
And more ninja stars.
You know, you throw in a pop star.
Who I've never heard of.
Yeah, who I've never heard
sorry,
of.
Sorry, no offense, Rain, but I just...
Probably don't want to, but, you know. It's a cool name, though.
Rain?
I like the name.
I'm sorry, one name people are douchebags. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can you think of? No.
No.
See?
Okay.
Sorry. Except for Moses. Moses kind of.
Moses
cool.
was kind of cool.
He was kind of cool.
He would not be a good ninja assassin, though.
No, but you know what? Moses knew better than to not do pop music or movies. He was ahead of his time.
That's true.
All right, overall, this is, I think, what we both thought of Ninja Assassin.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no!
Now, before I get stoned to death, we're going to take a break and continue talking with Richard Probst. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Naptown is nowhere near as sleepy as it sounds.
I say fooey to those who say there's nothing to do in Indianapolis. And we bring it to you on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast every week. It's a feature of our top 10 shows as voted on by music journalists across the city and our on-track artist featuring a local recording each and every week right here on the IndianapolisMusic.net podcast and WFYI HD2 Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone!
We've got guests!
You got what?
Guests! Guests!
Guests?
Yeah, guests! People! We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like, your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome, Richard Probst.
Thank you. Finally, an appropriate introduction.
I know. This is Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Sosi. If you have a question or a comment, or if you can think of a one-name person that's not a complete tool, email me at msosi@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. You can't think of one, can you?
I am trying so hard to think of just one.
I know. Well, Moses is out because he was a celebrity, but for different reasons.
Okay. I won't use Moses.
Or the Burt
Lancaster. I am in seminary, so I should use Moses.
Or Burt Lancaster as Moses.
Ooh.
Not bad. That's 76, you know. All right. Earlier in the show, we paid tribute to Peter Graves with a scene from Airplane. And now we have the Mystery Science Theater treatment. There were two films starring Peter Graves that Mystery Science Theater made fun of pleasantly. There was The Beginning of the End and It Conquered the World. So we're going to hear one of the famous monologues from Peter Graves and a Crow T robot tribute to Peter Graves here on Film Sociology.
You learned almost too late that man is a feeling creature. And because of it, the greatest in the universe.
Great air.
You learned too late for himself that men have to find their own way to make their own mistakes. Mm-hmm. There can't be any gift of perfection from outside ourselves. And when men seek such perfection, they find only death, mm-hmm. fire, loss, disillusionment,
boredom,
the end of everything that's gone forward. Men have always sought an end of toil and misery. It can't be given, it has to be achieved. There is hope. But it has to come from inside.
Wow.
The man himself.
Cool.
James Arness, we'll be back in sweet, sweet back.
No, no, Peter Bars. Graves.
Ha, ha, ha.
I don't know, Crow. It's probably just me. But the whole idea of a screenplay based around the life of Peter Graves, it just spells box office poison. Mm-hmm. And then to go and narrow the focus so much.
Here, let me sizzle it for you, Mike. Huh. Peter Graves went to the University of Minnesota, right?
I guess.
I guess nothing. The man went to the U of M, and that's exactly what my screenplay exploits.
Well, can we just get on with this, please?
Yes. Here we go. Just plain Peter. The U of M years, or Peter Graves goes to college at the University of Minnesota. A screenplay by Crow T. Robot.
Okay, okay. Let's go.
Only doing this because I need the stage time, Pinbeak.
Okay, Servo.
Okay, okay. Act one, Peter Graves enrolls at the University of Minnesota.
Okay, okay. Hi, I'm the registrar. May I help you?
Yes, I'm Peter Graves, and I'd like to enroll at the University of Minnesota.
Act two.
Mike, you got to help me with the card.
Oh, right. Okay.
I don't have any. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Act two. Peter Graves attends his first class.
Hi, I'm Peter Graves. Is this Biology 101?
Yes.
Good. I'm Peter Graves, and I'm in the right class.
Act three.
Thank you, Mike.
Act three. Peter Graves enjoys dorm life.
Okay. Think fast.
Aha! I'm Peter Graves, and I'm enjoying some good-natured ribbing with one of my many new pals here at the University of Minnesota.
Act four, extracurricular activities.
Oh, this is great. This one. I'm Peter Graves, and I was wondering if you could direct me to the natatorium as I'm attending a swim meet.
It's that way.
Thank you. I'm Peter Graves.
Okay.
Act five, Peter finds his calling.
I'm Peter Graves, and I'm beginning to take an interest in the theater arts and speech communications here at the University of...
Crow, how many acts are there?
15.
Crow, I'm not criticizing here, but were you worried about the redundancy factor or not? Or...
Well, I thought my point was important enough to risk that, but let's do the climax. I think you really like it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the climax.
All the cards over now.
There we go.
Act 15, graduation.
I'm Peter Graves. Thank you for the opportunity of learning at this fine institution. As I look back, I remember fondly my enrollment process, where, had you been there, you might have heard me say, "Hi, I'm Peter Graves, and I'd like to enroll at the University of Minnesota." Or the time when
way out there!
What? Hey.
Way out!
I gotta agree with him, Crow.
No, but Mike, like, no matter what you or Servo may think of my little screenplay, if it's convinced just one person out there that Peter Graves went to the University of Minnesota, then I've done my job.
I'm Peter Graves, and we've got Movie Sign on A&E.
Oh, look out, Barney Paris, help me!
On Biography on A&E. Salute, Peter Graves. Thank you, sir. Now... Richard Probst is here with me, and apparently he may have come up with a one name celebrity that's not a complete waste of celluloid. And you said
I did. I thought of Lassie.
Great. Now can you think of a human who has a one name?
Lassie is human.
Lassie's a dog.
Lassie held her own with Peter O'Toole
and Peter Graves and on Biography on A&E. I don't know. I don't think Lassie could lap up as much scotch as Mr. O'Toole.
Oh,
you mean on the movies?
In the movie, British remake of
Samantha
Lassie.
Morton, Peter Dinklage
that
film.
That was a beautiful film.
And that was what, Lassie number 12?
Probably. It was the best Lassie.
But we still haven't come up with a human with a one name that's...
I can't believe you're dissing Lassie.
I'm not dissing Lassie. I am acknowledging the fact that you have partially trumped my theory. Partially.
Partially?
Yes.
Okay. I'll work on
Moses and Lassie.
Moses and Lassie, that's a great combo.
They're cops.
They should be in a film together.
On Biography. On A&E. Sorry, what am I going to say? Richard, what have you? What? How are things going with IndependentCritic.com?
They are going fantastic at the IndependentCritic.com.
And the you're still doing album promotions?
I am. I produced a benefit this year for the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence called Give a Girl a Chance.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick that up in local record stores, Luna Music, Indie CD and Vinyl, and Book Mamas in Irvington.
Yes, I was at Book Mamas a couple weeks ago for their Oscar book chat.
Absolutely.
So, very
great
cool.
Great place. If you haven't been there, I do recommend it.
That's right. It's across from the really cool coffee shop in Irvington near the old Irving Theater.
Absolutely. Great.
So, what's on the website nowadays? What have you posted lately?
Lately, well, we're still, of course, doing a lot of movie reviews. We do have a short film database. So,
do you?
Yeah. Have probably 300 to 400 short films. I like working with up-and-coming directors, so I work with a lot of Hoosier filmmakers, cover a lot of Indiana films. I work with a lot of micro cinema, so
mm-hmm.
You know, it helps in terms of them getting attention, and you know, also helps us because we're able to network in the film community, and so that's really helped the site. And seen some great stuff. You know, this is the bad time of the year for movie theaters. So,
yeah, that kind of the post Oscar.
Oh, it's awful.
And I don't think we're getting any more Oscar because you know usually there's if a film gets nominated or wins, if it hasn't come yet, then it's probably like The Messenger. I don't think we're going to get The Messenger.
I don't think we're getting
any
time.
We're going to have to wait until it comes out on disc. But yeah, you're right about that. So
this is a great time to look for some solid low budget indie flicks.
And how can they check out your site?
You can visit theindependentcritic.com. I'm also on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter.
That's cool. And so send your independent short films to Richard. Send him the film Sociology. We'll try to send him to Ryan. He'll watch them. He'll watch anything. It's like Mikey. See, he will. That's all right. So what have you watched recently, old, new, or indifferent?
You know, I just saw a great documentary that I'm hoping might show up in a film festival. It's called 5678. Sorry, wrong number.
Is it about dancing?
It is about a young dance group, the Nova Jazz Dance Company. And it's just hitting the festival circuit and actually sent them over Heartland's way because it's just a wonderful
I was about to say, it sounds like Heartland material.
It is a great little documentary, and so I have high hopes for it.
Okay, that's cool. School.
That's my current favorite.
How'd you feel about the Oscars? We kind of did a wrap-up on it last week, but we said no huge surprises, kind of happy for Hurt Locker.
You know, we all know I'm a huge fan of 500 Days of Summer.
Yes, and we know it didn't get a screenplay nomination because you remind us of
and
that.
And I was devastated by that. And Gordon Levitt did not get a nomination.
Who are you going to take out?
Who could I take out? I don't know.
Sorry, I'm just being snarky.
Come on, they could have expanded it to 10.
Oh, shut up. They're not going to do it to 10. You know, between that and the talk about the NCAA tournament going to 96, which is just dumb.
They could take out Colin Firth. Nobody saw the film anyway.
We did.
Okay, so 7 people.
No, it was now more than 7 people.
Okay,
no,
he was great. I'm not dissing Colin Firth. He was great in the film.
I wouldn't have replaced him, personally.
But nobody saw it.
So what has that got to do with anything? Nobody saw Frozen Water last year, and Melissa Leo got a nomination.
I know, and she didn't deserve it either.
Oh, who would you have put in that spot?
I don't know, but it wouldn't have been Melissa Leo. Man, I watched that film, and I don't know. I didn't
okay,
see it.
I know okay. You're a big fan of it. It'll get its cult following that it's... Didn't that get some independent
people
stuff?
People saw it. Yeah, it actually it got a couple Independent Spirit nominations.
Okay.
And Gordon Levitt was nominated for Best Actor.
He's got a long way career ahead of him.
I was happy.
He'll get his dues.
And they both got Golden Globe nominations.
See?
So, you know, I was happy there.
Okay.
Okay.
Go to the...
I'll let it go.
IndependentCritic.com. My gosh. On behalf of Richard, on behalf of Ryan, I'm Matthew Sosie. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.